Mishnah Mem Hayamid Beis. Hayom Leitel Sar Reishai. Sar Reishin is right. He took his hair. Umishaleach Takas Hadait. And he sent it unto the pot where they cooked the shlavim. Now this is not ma'akev. This is a halacha that the Torah wants you to do. It's a mitzvah lechatchila. Nobody says that this part is ma'akev. Now, a very interesting translation of the word Medina in the Rishonim. Medina means out of Yerushalayim. That means, the way the Rishonim explain it, the Nazir can take his haircut anywhere in Yerushalayim and then send it under the pot where he cooks the shlamim, which might be right next to him, because he can cook the shlamim anywhere in Yerushalayim. And it might be in the Lishkas HaNazirim and the Ezra's Nachim, where they had a room for Nazirim to cook their shlamim. There's no command that he has to cook it in the Lishkas HaNazirim. It seemed that was the derech of Nazirim. They did it there, but they didn't have to. The derech was to take the haircut there, and they didn't have to either. So this person can take it anywhere in Yerushalayim and then send his hair under where he's cooking his shlamim. Now, it's interesting that that's the way the Rishonim explain Medina. They don't explain Medina out of Har Habayis. They explain Medina as out of Yerushalayim. I didn't see anybody, again, lo ra'inu ein araya, that I didn't see means very little, but I didn't see anybody that compares this to the Machlokes Rishonim in Halacha of where the mitzvah is to take rule of 7 days. The Mishnah says in Sukkah, the Migdash, the mitzvah was 7 days, and the Medina, biblically, it's 1 day. What is Migdash? What is Medina? Rashi learns, Migdash is the Beis HaMikdash, and Medina is anywhere out of that, including Yerushalayim. The Rambam says, Migdash includes Yerushalayim, and Medina is anywhere out of Yerushalayim. It means, according to the Rambam, one is biblically obligated to take a lulav, the Daibad al-Adminim, in the old city of Yerushalayim, where there are in Rio Yerushalayim, 7 days, which has spawned, if that's the right word, two kinds of minhagim. You had people like Reb Shlomo Zalman, that ran to the Kaiso on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, that he can do the mitzvah deraisa of Dalad Minim according to the Rambam. And then you have people like from Brisk, that stay away from the old city of Yerushalayim, the whole Chol HaMoed Sukkos. They shouldn't be chayav deraisa. They don't know if their dalad minim are kosher enough. Two separate minhagim and how to deal with this issue. So the briskers only go to the kaisu at night in Chol HaMoed when there's no chayav dalad minim. They won't go in the day because then there might be chayav deraisa. And you had people like Reb Shlomo Zalman or Rabbi Yashiv used to run to the kaisu in Chol HaMoed so they could do this mitzvah deraisa. And they weren't nervous that maybe their dal minim aren't kosher enough. They passed in this kosher, so it's kosher. This is two different minhagim that came about. But I didn't see anybody else tell this too. I did find that the Bar Tanura learns Yerba Medina means out of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And that's how the Bar Tanura learns. So it's interesting, the Rishonim as a whole, besides the Bar Tanura, learn that it means out of Yerushalayim. In fact, the Einig Yom Tov brings out a point. He says, if I'm standing in Yerushalayim, as far away as I can be from the Beis HaMikdash, within the confines of the city of Yerushalayim, I mean the real city of Yerushalayim, right? Then I send it Takas Hadayin, because I did it Bepina, the Mishnah says, I'm saying I did it Bemikdash, and you said, if I step one step out, and I'm cooking it in Yerushalayim near the wall, near the border, and I'm taking the haircut 3 steps away, outside of the city, I don't put it under the pot anymore. There's no mitzvah to put it under the pot if you don't take the haircut in Yerushalayim. Because it's an extra step of having to bring it. Now, physically, bringing it from the outskirts of Yerushalayim, from the end of Yerushalayim, to where it's cooking, might be a lot longer distance than bringing it from right outside Yerushalayim to right in Yerushalayim. Yet the Mishnah says, if you're in Yerushalayim, that's not called an extra step of bringing it. But if you're out of Yerushalayim, no matter what, remember, you can cook it anywhere in Yerushalayim. And if you're out of Yerushalayim, and then you're sending it to Yerushalayim, it can be a much shorter distance. That, the Mishnah says, well, that's an extra step. and you're not mechuyev to do that extra step. So you don't send it under the pot. Dr. Yom Tov, you see, it's not a matter of distance of bringing. It's a matter of halachic bringing. Bringing it from out of your shalayim to in your shalayim is an extra step. Bringing it within your shalayim, even though it's a much longer walk, is not called an extra step. That's what you see from this Mishnah. Yes.
Rabbi, could you just repeat the Bartonur's position? Was his position that because it's mentioned right after that, by definition, that's where you must have to have a haircut? It has to be in your shalayim?
You can take a haircut wherever you want. There's no guideline the way
so why doesn't anybody? So why doesn't anybody interpret the verse to say you have to have it there because otherwise you have an intermediary step? We have a since we have the requirement to burn the hair. Why doesn't that imply where you must get the hair?
Let me word it this way. You might be right that we want you to take the haircut in your shalayim. It's a mitzvah. But what I meant to say is you can fulfill the obligation of a haircut without doing it the right way. Meaning, according to Eliezer, if you don't take a haircut, you're still a nazir. Nobody says that if you don't take it in the right location, you're still a nazir. What they say is, you should. You're right. There's a mitzvah to do it where there's no intermediary step. But
why don't they interpret it the stricter way? That
because
this implies where you have to have it.
Because I think that what? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but I think maybe we'll get clarity when we learn the Gemara.
The hair can't be sent to the mikdash, and then do the cooking and all that stuff.
Why is
he putting the hair under the pot wherever he's at?
Wherever he cooks the shlamim.
Anywhere
in your shalayim.
You cannot cook out of your shalayim.
No, you're not allowed to cut some kalam out of your shalayim. You have to keep your shalayim within the confines of your shalayim. So, Dr. Gemara Mishnah Vayter. Hayim shalayim tak im gilag be medina. If you did it out of your shalayim, that's how the Rush translates it. Hayim shalayim tak as hadayid. There was no mitzvah for him to put it under the dayid. Pot. Dayid is a pot. When is this mitzvah? Only by the end of Naziris, when he does his haircut. However, if he became a Nazir Tamei and he takes a haircut, then he's not, the mitzvah doesn't even exist. The Torah doesn't write it there. Not true. Even a Nazir Tamei burnt it under the pot, even though a Nazir Tamei did not bring a shlamim. I don't think he brought a shlamim. He brought an asham, an oil, and a chatas. But he did not have to burn it under a pot of a carbon. He said everybody did send it under the pot. Anybody that took a haircut out of Yishalayim didn't send it by tamei. So there's many machlokes in here. Because Rameir takes a totally different opinion. He says somebody at the tor that's out of Yishalayim does send it under the pot. Does have the mitzvah. He doesn't agree to the first opinion that it's limited to those who take the haircut in Yerushalayim. Even if you take the haircut out of Yerushalayim, you should put it under the pot. And he also says that another Tamei sends it under the pot, not of the Shlomim, but I guess of the Asham, or wherever he cooks his bird. It's all going to be in the Azara, because there is no other place that you can have a Chatas and an Asham. Kahanim have to eat it in the Azara. But he says the only one that doesn't have to send his hair is if he's a Tamei out of the Yerushalayim. That's what Rameir says. Rash. Let's do Rash. Zogta Rash. Mishalayach takas adayit shosevach ha-shlamim. Hayim mishalayach b'mdina. Zogta Rash. Avagam d'chsev Pesach ha-yom b'gilach Pesach ha-yom ayin. I had said to do a Pesach ha-yom ayin. Lav davka, k'd b'farish b'gemara. As we explained, it doesn't mean do the haircut Pesach ha-yom ayin. We learned it meant right? That when it's open, that was one pshat. Right? The other pshat was, right, that was the pshat that we said. We said it doesn't mean. It means shlomim, where it says you should have to do it when it's open. There were different ways we interpreted Pesach HaYomayin, but we didn't say, except for one Tana, we didn't say it has to be done at the door of the HaYomayin. You know what? I didn't say I'm sorry. I misled everybody. In every other print besides mine, the Rosh on the Mishnah is on the first page. This is one of the other times that whatever print you have will decide where you have the Rush. I will read the Rush over again, and it's under Amud Aleph. And it starts, Mishaleach Tachas Hadayit. Remember I said that the Rush puts the Mishnah before the Gemara? So I have it on the Amud Beit because this print corrected everything. But in my Masifta Gemara, which I prepare from, and in the regular Gemara, it's under Amud Aleph.
So we have a parallel with the Rush.
That's where you have it? Thank you. Mishaleach Tachas Hadayit. To the Darish B'Gemara, from the Siv Elokech Hasad Reish Nizrei, V'Elokech HaHesh, puts it in the fire. I'm sorry. Mishaleach Tachas Hadayit, Shosev HaShlamim. Hoi Mishaleach B'Medina, Av Agav the Siv Bekilach Pesach HaYamayit, the Pasuk said, you have to do it by the door of HaMayit. Lav Zavka. We explained that the Gemara doesn't mean that, because Mepharish B'Gemara, like we explained, that Pesach HaYamayit either refers to Shlomim or refers when the doors are open.
Or said it to you, was it literally?
One Tana said that, but we didn't go that way. Most of the Tanaim didn't go that way. We didn't even have that Tana in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, everybody said, you don't have to do it in the Hadarab. It was one that Brisa brought Reb Shimon Chizuri. Again, was Reb Shimon Chizuri in our Mishnah? No.
What was the third opinion? There was the third opinion in the Gemara.
Again, that's a Brisa. Not every opinion is brought in the Mishnah. We're learning Mishnah now. Lo yai mishaleach tachas hadayi, to the Darish v'gemara, b'shem kassim alokin chasar reish nizrei, v'nasin ala eish, mishayin ha-mechusa l'kicha l'sina, taking and putting, yatazeh ha-mechusa l'kicha v'havoa mechutz l'rishalayim, v'nasin ha-tachas hadayi, an extra step, and as I've explained it, stepping from out of Yerushalayim into Yerushalayim is called an extra step. Even though it's close, and within Yerushalayim, it can be 2 miles away, and it's not considered an extra step.
If you do it right away, and there's no kicha, right? That's what he means to
say. No, that's not true.
If you do it right from your haircut and put it right on the
That's box. Kicha and Nesina. What?
But the
glachas atoma loyim mishaleach tachas adayin. So asher b'chatas oif. Loisiv Nesina sar tachas adayin el benazir tar. The only time, you don't have it? It's not there? You don't have that rush?
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't say put it there, only by Nazir Tor. Hakol Meshalchim, Tor b'megdash b'medina, b'tami b'megdash. Chutz min atami b'medina, k'mefarish b'gemara, meshasare nikvar. The reason Remeir exempts the guy that's Tamei, that cuts it off out of Yerushalayim, is because that's one of the things that have to be buried, not burned. There are some things that are usher and pleasure that the chiyuv is to burn them, and some things that the chiyuv is to bury them. And the Mishnah in Tumura lists this as the ones that are buried. So therefore, there's no mitzvah to burn them, because these are Mishili Tumura, like it says at the end of Masechta Tumura.
Is a shlamim allowed to have be tzli? Does it have to be in a pot?
In this case, by El Nazir, the shlamim of a Nazir had to be partially cooked at least, because there's a halacha called Zraya B'Shela, which we haven't gotten to yet, which means every other shlamim, the kayan gets the chaza and the sheik. As a present, he gets the breastbone and the right hind leg. That's what he receives from every shlamim. By Nazir, the Torah gave him a few extra things. Number one, the Nazir brings 20 breads, and two of them have to be given to the kayan. And number two, the Nazir gets the right front foot cooked. That means it has to be cooked and given to the kayan. It says Zeraya B'Shela, the right front foot cooked. So automatically there was a cooking process that happened by Shlomo.
In water? I mean, does that mean...
That's what cooking means.
Right, so it'd be, without water, it'd be roasted.
Right.
So what, as long as they do the whole thing?
Maybe? The discussion somewhere, I don't remember where, I think it might be coming up, does that, what if you only cook the foot, not the rest of it? If I remember correctly, there's no such discussion.
No, it's not here, it's in
Hulu. It's in Hulu, I remember where it is. There's a discussion, what happens in that. But I don't remember the maskana. I think it had to do with 100th and not 100th, that bittul, because the part of the kayin can't be eaten by Yisrael. So if you cook it whole, the Zeraya is being cooked together with the rest, so the taste goes from the Zeraya to the rest of the meat, so how can Yisrael eat the rest of the meat? So they talk about proportions, 100th or 60th, bittul, not bittul. But pashtus, you could cut it off and cook it by itself. Yes, doctor.
Depending on the definition of the foot, this is a bit tautological because the foot is essentially a nail and can only be cooked in water, cannot be roasted.
No, it doesn't mean a nail. It means the whole foot, I think, if I remember correctly, up to the knee.
Okay.
I think. Again, Rabbi Schutz can correct me if I'm wrong. Okay.
Thank you.
What was the answer?
Zog the Gemara Vayter. I think we finished the Rash. Right. Zog the Gemara Vayter. Aleph says, the Bach, Hoye Noito Sar Reishai. Kana Rabbana. Now here is another halacha. V'yachikach Noito Asar Reitav. There's a mitzvah to take the soup. I don't know what he translates Reitav as.
Gravy.
Okay. V'noisen Asar Reish Nisrai. And put it on top of the hair, and then burn it under the pot. That means part of the thing that you're burning is part of the gravy of the cooking shlomim. That's one halacha. Next halacha. You don't have to burn it under the shlomim. You can burn it if you want to under the chatas and asham. Frank the Gemara, asham and nazir tar miyika. A nazir tar doesn't bring an asham. Amar Rava, he come on. Vim nazir tamim shaleach tagas adoit shalosham. According to those tanoim that say that a nazir tamim also has a mitzvah to send his hair under a pot, he can send it under the pot of the asham, yatsa. Because you can only send it under a chakas and an asham. There's nothing else by Nazir Tameh. There's idol, but they'll get cooked. So that's the end of that. Dr. Raj.
Well, there is no, that talking about Torah, talking about Tameh?
That part of asham has to be talking about a Tameh. There is no asham by Nazir Tar. So according to those who want him to cook even the hair, burn the hair of the Nazir Tameh under a pot, which pot does it have to be? Either an asham or a chakas. There is no shlomim.
There's no shlomim by itself. Tummy.
Exactly.
Isn't yatsa the wrong word, though?
I can't hear you.
Isn't yatsa the wrong word? Yatsa is the DM? Yatsa free. Free.
I don't know. I mean, the Chatzila, the Torah says, Daitcha shlomim. There is no shlomim. Dr. Rash, Vakach Naito Saraitav, Siyuma the Braitsehi. This is the end of the Braitseh. I don't know what he means by the end of the braisa. I think what's bothering him is the word v'yachakach. What did you say before that we say it after? That must have been a beginning of a braisa that we're entering in middle. You don't start a braisa after what? Must be there was a discussion beforehand, and now we're saying after. That's what the Rashi is saying. Okay, so to Gemara Vayter. Manani Mili. How do I know that you put the gravy on the hair? Amar Rava, it says, Amar Kra, Asher Tachas Zevach HaShlomim. The pasuk reads that he should put it on the fire that's under the Zevach HaShlomim. Why did it have to say the word Zevach? It could have said Asher Tachas HaShlomim. To tell me, Mizivchai Yehei Tachtav. Part of the zivchai should be under the pot also. Means not only take the hair, take something from the pot, from the carbon. So we say take the gravy. How do we know it's the gravy, not the meat? I don't know. I would assume because you were supposed to eat the meat. I guess that's why we say it's the gravy. Zuckerash. Mizivcha yehetach, zaytach, misur de zebach kadarish. We're dieting it from the extra word zebach. Tachas dayit hashlomim, yeh min hazebach. V'haynu, right, the min hazebach atzma, yeh shalusreif, kol t'man shuroi l'achila. You're not allowed to burn meat that's edible of carbon. So must be the gravy. I had a little problem here, but it's my own problem. Is the mitzvah to eat the gravy also? Why is that more allowable than the meat? You're not allowed to burn the meat because there's a mitzvah to eat shlomim, not to burn it. There's a mitzvah to eat the gravy you cook the shlomim in too. So why? There it is, the Torah said, take something and put it under. That means the Torah made an exemption. What? Because it has the shlomim in it.
That's nicer if you leave it over.
Isn't it? It has the tam of shlomim in it. When you cook shlomim, the gravy has the taste of shlomim. That's why it's called mizivchai. It has part of the carbon. So I'm just not sure. I mean, the Rush says it. You can't burn the meat because there's a mitzvah to eat the meat. So you burn the gravy. But the gravy, this is my problem. I didn't see anybody ask it. But Torah says the Torah gave an allowance. So once the Torah gave an allowance, how do they know where to draw the line? I guess logic says that the meat is a bigger mitzvah than the gravy. Even though I'm not 100% sure why, but that's what it says.
Did they put seasoning to
I'm sorry?
Did they put any spices?
What difference does it make? I mean, you try to build a recipe? The recipe, I don't know.
Is that
part
of shlomim
also? They absorb
the shlomim meat, enough taste.
I'm not, I don't understand what you're asking.
Put a carrot in there, and it absorbs the flavor of the...
And therefore, there's a mitzvah to eat the carrot.
Okay.
Whatever has the time shlomim, there's a mitzvah to eat. Yes?
I think that you actually said the answer, which is that what is in the gravy is the taste of the shlomim. That is halakhically different than the shlomim per se. For instance, if you have gravy fall into milk, it can be buttle. If there is a chunk of shlomim, even if it is outweighed of the meat, even if it's greater than 160, you have to remove it.
That's because things you see are never buttle. If you add a piece of meat, mixed into other meat,
I hear what you're saying. No, but
it has nothing to do because that's stricter. It has to do. Well, I didn't say that.
I didn't say stricter. I said different.
Different. Okay. I will only say there's a machlokes rishonim whether taste is biblical or rabbinic. If you learn Tom Kinker's and Rabbanim, which Rashi learns, going to many Mandi Amrim, then ain't a chinami. Then Tom is much less. Because it's only rabbinically required to be eaten.
Exactly.
Okay. But we pass in time kickers at the Raisa. And once it's at the right, still not as strict. You don't get Malkus for Tom, but you get the Tassim at the Raisa. So again, you'll have to say that it's less severe than it is the main.
By all accounts, I'm not even saying less severe. I'm just saying different. And you just said we don't whip on it.
Okay.
That's different.
Again. Okay.
Was that Mishra?
Tom Kaker, right?
Yeah, is that the right?
That's, Rashi deals with that. This is the Sugya in Chulin, Sugya in Sacha maybe, but really in Chulin. Mitzvah Hashem will get the Chulin. Get the Chulin. No, we'll be finished Nazar Mitzvah Hashem soon. The Rebbeinu Hashem should give us Yad to the Smaya. It's 20 block, 22 block, but 65 block, we're on number 44, so 21 block left. Zag to Gemara weiter. Frank to Gemara. Vimshilach, the Brisa said, Takas adai cho chatas, yatsa. You put it under the pot of the chatas, your yatsa. My time, huh? Tyrus says, Shlomen. How do you know it expands the chatas? Zevach, the rabbi says, Achatas v'asham. There's an extra word. It says, Ashitachas Zevach Hashlomim. Could have said, Ashitachas Hashlomim. Zevach teaches me that even another carbon, which in this case is Chatas by Tar and Asham by Tamei. Didn't you just use Zevach to say that you take the gravy?
He says,
right. But would have said gravy. My zevach. Why did the Torah use the word zevach? Shmamin al rabbis chatas vasha. They mekula the chatas vasha mudasas. How do you know gravy? Maybe it's only coming to tell me different carbon. Kerei mishlamim bezevach. It would have said the word zevach after shlamim, not before shlamim. So the location of the word zevach tells me that it's part of the shlamim. The use of the word zevach tells me there's something else being included as well, because it doesn't say gravy. My zevach hashlomim, shmami notarki, we learn on both things. Rush? Mizivch like we did, my zevach hashlomim, shmami notarki, with the samach zevach l'tachas, it says, ashtachas zevach hashlomim, tell me that the shina tachas hashlomim, yitim in hazevach. So the location tells me that it has to do with putting it under the shlomim. The word tells me that there's something else here as well, because it could have said the word reitiv. Even though I don't think the Torah ever uses the word reitiv in Chumash. So I think that's what Gemara said it should have used. Because I don't think the word reitiv is in the Torah ever. I don't think so. My knowledge of Chumash, I don't remember any reitiv in the Torah. That you're taking from Bitachas Zevach, that Zevach goes Tachas. The juxtaposition of the word Zevach to the word Tachas.
I can't believe that. No. Who wrote his, not the Chumash?
Again, it might be a Navi and Chesuvim. I don't even claim to have a faint knowledge of those things. But in Chumash, I usually learn every year. I listen to Kriyas HaTorah. And I don't remember the word writer being used. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong many times before. Added to the list. Don't think of my bite. Tana Rabbanan, HaKoi HaMeshach HaTakas HaDai. Everybody used to send it under a pot. Had a mitzvah to send it under a pot. Chos Mishtomei Shagilach V'Medina. Besides the Tomei, they took the haircut out of Yerushalayim. Mishasari Nikbar. Nothing to do with the extra step, because the mayor doesn't hold there's a problem with the extra step, the mayor. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Tahirim Khan Bakar Hayim Shalchan. Rabbi Yehuda says he agrees to the mayor that Tameim sent, but he said even the Tahirim didn't send it from out of the city, because he holds the extra step. He said, you don't do it when there's an extra step. So, both of them, I'm sorry, take it back. Tahirim Khan Bakar Hayim Shalchan. The Hiram used to send it whether in the city or out of the city. Again, he doesn't hold up the extra step, but he holds it only for Nazir Tameh, Tar, Tameim Kam Bekan Loyah Mishalch. And Rachamim Aymim, HaKol Loyah Mishalch HaTakos HaDoid, Chutz Min HaTorah Sheb HaMikdash Nishanasa Kimitzvasak. The Rachamim say, anything that's out of the ordinary. Number one, it's out of Yerushalayim. Number two, it's Tameh, not the regular. There's no mitzvah to send. So there's three opinions. Rameyer says, there are four possibilities. A Tar doing it in Yerushalayim where he's supposed to do it. A Tar doing it out of Yerushalayim. He's allowed to do it, but that's not mitzvah site. A Tame doing it in Yerushalayim, a Tame doing it out of Yerushalayim. Rameyer says Tame is like Tar, except if it's out of Yerushalayim, there's a mitzvah to bury it, and therefore you don't send it under the pot. Rabbi Yehuda says Tameim never sent under the pot. Tahirim sent under the pot whether in or out. The Chachamim say, of the four, only one sent under the pot, Tahirim in Yerushalayim. Rush? The Rush? No Rush. End of Rush. Love the Mishnah.
Referring to in Yerushalayim, or referring to the temple? Exactly.
No, again, Migdash means Yerushalayim. We went through this in the Mishnah. Again, except for the Bar Tanura, who learned Migdash meaning Migdash, and Medina meaning anywhere else, and he learned that it was cooked in the Lishkas Nazirim, therefore, since it was cooked there, it's an extra step. Everybody else seems to learn Medina means out of Yerushalayim. That's why I said I didn't see anybody bring in the discussion of Lulav, whether Medina means out of Yerushalayim or in Yerushalayim.
Is that
for Chutz Lartz?
Medina?
I have no idea. I mean, for Nazir to go to Chutz Lartz to take his haircut is a nice trip. He's right there in Yerushalayim.
Well, he's on the border also. Long trip too.
From where?
Yerushalayim to the outside border.
Of Yerushalayim. I'm talking about Yerushalayim. You're bringing in a whole new thing of getting out of Eretz Yisrael.
So when you said the Medina...
It means out of Yerushalayim.
That means
Yeah, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. But again, we're talking practically. Why would a Nazir go to Tzvas to take his haircut?
It might be that he lives there.
Okay. No. He wouldn't. I don't think he would send it all the way from Tzvas. Yes.
Would the rabbinic tumah of being Tzvas?
I have no idea. It doesn't talk about the Tzvas here. I'm not even...
No problem.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. But that was while she was in Nazir. Right. That depends. Like, if my God, it's still Nazir, not a Nazir. It gets very complicated. We'll leave it alone.
Right. And I don't want anyone to think gravy doesn't know. The word gravy, that's rotating.
Right.
Is not in the Chumash.
Thank you very much. Who told you this?
What?
Who told you this?
By Google.
So, you think Google is smarter than me? In Chumash? I feel very insulted. Google some shade to whoever it is that did Google. And I learned Chumash since I'm five.
I said my wife.
You know the famous is someone many years ago when they first were putting computerized in the Bible.
Quickly. Yeah, that's the famous Mishnah. Okay. Like the Mishnah Vayter. By the way, it could be Google is a lot smarter. They know a lot more than me. Like the Mishnah Vayter. Hayim avashel et ha-shlamim ha-shokan. He cooked the shlamim or shokan, which the Rush learns means overcook them.
Yep.
The Torah says you cook. The Mishnah is telling me it can be overcooked. Overcooked is a step further. It's okay. You can't roast it. You have to cook it. Rash Ayshalkam Bishul Meruba. That's a big cooking, a lot of cooking. Hakayin Naitlas Hazraya Bishaya Minayo. Here the Mishnah is revealing to me. He takes the cooked right front leg. In the Gemara terminology, Mishnah terminology, the front legs are called hands. Zraya, and the hind ones are called Shaik. That's right front is Zraya, right rear is Shaik.
It doesn't include the shoulder, right?
What?
It does not include the shoulder.
I don't remember. He was going to look it up, but it includes.
Shaik literally means thigh. What's Shaik mean?
Thigh. But we're not talking about Shaik here. We're talking about Zraya. The Bechala Matza Achas Min Asau. And he takes one chalas matzahs, the rakik matzahs. There's two kinds of breads that a nazir brings. One is called chalas matzahs, and one is called rikike matzahs. Those two he brings. He makes 10 loaves of each, and one of the 10 is given to the kayan. The naisin akapi hanazir, and the kayan puts the zraya and the two chalas on the hands of the nazir, umeinifan, and he waves them. Waves them is like a lulav. For six directions. V'yachikach chutar ha-nazir lishtas yayin. When this is finished, the nazir can drink wine. Ulitamir l'meisim. Now this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that before the haircut, he can't drink wine and be mitamir l'meisim. The Rabbanan say, once he brings one carbon, his nazirus is finished. Haircut is a mitzvah, not necessary to remove his nazirus. Rabbi Eliezer said, Taglachas is Miyakev. So he has to do the haircut. Now, it seems from this Mishnah, the Gemara will discuss it, that you need more than Taglachas. You also need Trufa. You also have to cook it, take it, and wave it. The question is that Miyakev or not? We will elaborate on this in the Gemara. But the Mishnah seems to say, now it's finished. That means till now it wasn't finished. Now, according to the Rabbanan, it ended a long time ago. It ended as soon as he brought one carpet. Taglachas was just a mitzvah. So the Rush points out, Meniva v'yachakach hudran razer yishtishayin, nirudra kabliyazer sphere-like. This Mishnah goes like kabliyazer. The Israelite begamar, the asa lishtishayin, halach ka maiz, maburim beparcha. Zuck the Mishnah weiter. Reb Shimon Eimer.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi, I'm sorry. Does the Nazar himself get waved? In other words, does the coin pick up everything?
No. Only the Zraya and the two Chalas.
Uh-huh. Okay. I always wondered, because there is something where a coin waves a person, correct?
At only one place.
Bikurim.
No, Bikurim only waves them. No, it's only one place. When the Levium were sanctified, one time in history, it says that Aaron waved every Levi. That was in Parshas Baloitcha. It happened one time in history. Never happened before, never happened after. Every other time.
Quite a physical feat.
Parts of animals. The only time a person got waved in history was, I mean, halachically waved, was the Levium when they were sanctified to become Levium. There was a process. And part of the process is Aaron had to wave every Levi. And he did it all in one day, 22,200 and some Levium in one day. I don't know how he did it. But then again, everything else was miracles in those days anyway, so just add this as another miracle.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Rav Shimon Aimer,
is that a process of cooking legitimately, or you want it to, or you just over?
You can do it any way you like it better, but it has to be cooked. Now, how about overcooked? Is that called cooked? See, I'll take it back. In your mind, overcooking and cooking is the same thing.
My mind, overcooked means you made a mistake. You overcooked it.
That's not true. Some people like it overcooked. You know, I learned today not to comment on people's taste. There's some people who eat raw meat, and they tell me it's in the Zasher Kol Tzarcha, you know what I mean? For Hilchos Shabbos, they'll tell me it's completely cooked. It's raw. It's rare. Now, how can you eat? There's some people like raw meat. They call that, it's a Shaila Hilchos Shabbos. If it's this basu kol tzarkai, then it's not considered cooking anymore on a davar yavesh. So how about if it's a rare piece of meat? Can you put it back in the fire, right, on Shabbos? If it's cooked completely, if it's roasted completely, you can put it back in the fire. Not on the fire, you can put it on your crock pot, you can put it on the radiator, whatever you want to put it, right? As long as it's not directly on the fire. So how about if it's rare? So I said, that's raw, it's not cooked. People look at me and they say, well, that's not cooked. That's completely cooked. So I've learned not to comment on people's taste. So some people like things to be cooked to the point that the meat's falling apart. That's overcooked. They like it that way. Everybody's entitled. You know what I mean? It's a free country. In a free country, you do whatever you want, whether it's right or wrong. Yes.
It might be easier to translate overcooked in this instance as poorly or completely inedible.
Now, what do you mean? Now, what do you mean? Edible, overcooked.
Either way, it's boiled.
Yeah, it's boiled. The Arishai in them that were in Shalik means half-cooked. Rare. But that's not what the Rush learns. We're learning Rush. The Mepharish learns that way. Okay, right. Reb Shimon Aimer, Kivich and Izrik Olavechem and Adamim, once you do Zrika of one of the bloods, one of the Karbanas, Hutter and Raja Lishnis Biyayin Latama Lamesim, his Naziris is over, it's done with.
Like
Drabana, correct. Rashi, Rash, Kivich and Izrik Olavechem and Adamim, his Nishina Begemara, Acher Maisi Yechidi. After one act, it's learned from a Pasik, as we will see in a second. Tana Rabana. Here comes the source of the Machlaikas. Pasuk says, he does the Tenufa. Together, by the way, there's other parts to the Tenufa as well. They put the Chaza and the Shaik. Every Shlomim, the Kayan got the breastbone and the right hind leg. That was part of the Tenufa. Not only did they do the front leg and the two Chalas, they did the hind leg and the breastbone together on that Tenufa as well. And at the end, what? Yes. The Achar Yishta Nazir Yayin, the Pasuk ends. Waving. Is included in the waving. They waved the parts given to the Kayan. The parts given to the Kayan are the right front leg cooked, the two Chalas, the two Matzah Chalas, whatever you want to call them, and also the breastbone and the right hind leg, which is given to the Kayan from every Shlomo.
Only stacked
at one tenufa? I have no idea. They put it together. One tenufa.
One tenufa.
The Achar Yishta Nazir Yayin. Afterwards, the Nazir is allowed to drink the wine. Now, what does Achar mean? Zok Reb Eliezer. Achar Kol Hamay Achar Maitzim Kulan. You have to do everything the Torah prescribed. Then the Nazir is allowed to drink wine, which means it didn't end till you finished the process. But Chachamim Aymerim, Acha Maisi Yechidi. Acha means after the first act, which is the first carbon, Zrika. Once you finish that, the Zeris is over. Now, simply read, the Pasuk seems to lead like a Bliazer. The Pasuk lists steps and then says, afterwards he drinks wine. The Chachamim come along and say, afterwards doesn't mean after all these steps. After means after the first step. Frank the Gemara, my time I had Rabbana. Why did Rabbana say this? So the Gemara, they learn it from Xer Shava. Siv Hachav Acha Yishtan Azir Yayin. Says, afterwards he drinks wine. Siv Hasam Acha is Gal Chayas Nisrai. The Pasuk says that he does the, puts it on the hand of the Nazir, but they did Tnufa. It was located on the hand of the Nazir and on the hand of the Kohen together, and they did Tnufa together. It says there, he should do the Tnufa after he takes a haircut. Now, there, Achar means after one act, after a haircut. Even though, right? So here also we learn from the Xer Shava that even though simple reading of the Pasuk would have indicated many steps, the Xer Shava teaches me Achar one step. And since it doesn't tell me which step, it goes back to the first step. Frank the Gemara. Who says that achar means after one step? Maybe it means after the taglachas also two steps. Dr. Gemara, Xer Shava Lomali. That meaning, why do I need Xer Shava? I would have known it means after the steps. By saying the Xer Shava, it's obviously telling me not the way you read the pasuk, which means after one step. Rashi, Acha Maisi Yechid, Afilu Acha Echa Ben Adamin. Ma Hasam Acha Maisi Yechid, Tani Guluach. That pasuk says specifically after one act. Right? Because it says, it's a Bekra. Vei Madiga Tavayu Kabbalah Zetaglachas. The Acha Taglachzai, Hainu Acha Kalavadis Kabbalah. I mean, the pasuk wrote it after Taglachas. The answer is, that's why you have a Xer Shava to tell me not that way. Now here opens up a sugya that's going to need a lot of patience, concentration. Concentration seems to be the key word here. Amarav, Tnufa Benazir Makebeth. Waving keeps the person from becoming, his Nazir is being over. It is a necessary step in the removal of his naziris. Frank the Gemara, Liba de Man. According to who? Elaim, Liba de Rabbanon. Taglagas, Ami Rabbanon, Lai Ma'akva. Tnupa Ma'akva. Rabbanon, Tnupa Mi'boy. They said you don't even have to do a haircut. And the Tnupa is written after the haircut. So you don't have to do a haircut, you have to do Tnupa? Can't be. Elo Liba de Rabliezer. Must be that Rab is going according to Rabliezer. Shita. Amar Rabliezer Acha Maisim Kulam. He says Acha means everything listed in the Torah. And the thing, one of the things listed is Tufa. So why does Rab have to tell to me? I read the Pesukim. I see Rabliezer says that. So basically the Gemara is asking, what is Rab telling me? He's telling me that you have to wave it in order to the Zeris to be removed. Well, Rabbanan, it's not true. And a Rabbi Ezra, it's unnecessary to say.
What is he waving? A cooked? What is he waving?
He's waving five things. The cooked leg, the behind leg, the breastbone, and two different collars.
When he's waving it, is he waving it using the pot or he doesn't?
His hands. He's waving it. Yes, the Pasuk says, without arguing. But nothing I'll copy on Nazir. He puts it on the hand of the Nazir, and they do Tnufa. His hands under the Nazir's hands, and they do Tnufa. That's what happens.
Is the time cooked already?
Yes. He takes this Roya B'Shela. You know, it would help if we had a chumash here. Or if you have the psukim on the side, but at least something.
Holding a thing has to be in some container.
Why?
Especially if it's overcooked.
I don't know why you assume that. you don't want to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the Nazir got his hands dirty. I mean, you're assuming because you wouldn't hold a cooked piece of meat, therefore nobody else would either. Doesn't say you can't let it cool off. Doesn't have to take it out of the fire when it's burning hot and put it on its hands. I'm sorry? It's not big nick on his hands. Well, the kohen is working. The big nick on is a sugya in itself. He's working with blood all day. I mean, this is the clean things. He's shechting and doing Kabbalah and doing Zrika and running around. Whatever he did to the big nikkuna to keep it clean, that was his business. But this is the least part of the problem.
Nazir is doing the waving?
Both the Kayan and the Nazir.
Holding it?
Yes.
Where the five, the right foreleg, right hind leg, the breast?
Two chalas.
Not the right forefoot? What?
Well, that's what the cook said. You just mentioned that, didn't you? Again, I didn't know the exact dimensions of it. Whatever. Again, Dr. Schwab said the foot is the nail. It's much more than the nail. It's. You want to say the four? What does he translate it as? The four what? Four leg. Okay. What?
Three is the arm.
Right. Right. I think it's all the way to the knee.
He cuts off the bottom?
No, it doesn't say he's got the... Why are we adding things when they're not necessary to add?
From the knee.
From the bottom to the knee.
From the bottom to
the I think it's the knee. Might be wrong. It might be all the way up the thigh. I don't know. It's a... But my sister tells me it's a Mishnah. I don't know where it is. Honestly, maybe later in Nazir. I don't know. Yes.
Number two, if the gravy was absorbed into the matzah, does that count as holding the gravy?
You don't hold the gravy.
Well, that's what our
muscle is talking about. I'll tell you, no. Oh, let's step back. The gravy was taken and put in the hair under the fire. It was burnt up completely. The gravy is gone. The hair is gone. It's all.
Some of the gravy. All the gravy.
It didn't say it. Who said all the gravy?
I don't know.
Let me just explain this. Can I just explain it before everybody makes their own assumptions? They took the gravy, some of the gravy, put it on the hair, and burnt up the hair in that gravy. It's gone. They cooked Zraya Bishela. It's in gravy. Now, they take it out. They might let it dry. They might not let it dry. I have no idea. It's a cooked piece. They take the chaz and the shayk, which are raw at this point, and they take the two matzahs. The chaz and the shayk weren't cooked yet. Doesn't say they were cooked. That right front foot was cooked. And they take the chaz and the shayk, and they put it on the hands of the nazir with the two matzahs, and the kohen puts his hand under it, and they wave it, and it's over and done with.
Hands might not be dirty at all.
I didn't say they were. I'm not worried about the dirty hands. My hands get dirty a lot of times.
Can you put in a plastic bag?
No plastic bag. A lot of finicky people around here, they're getting crazy about getting their hands wet. You know what I mean? Obviously, nobody's a chef here. But if you were a chef, you wouldn't ask me. You get your hands dirty. What do they think they do all day? Your wife wears gloves when she cooks? I don't know. My wife doesn't wear gloves when she cooks.
A lot of people wear gloves.
I'm sure they do. My cleaning lady wears gloves when she cleans. Yeah, I mean. Okay.